ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 11 टेक्स्ट 15 एंड 16 चैप्टर एंटाइटल द परफेक्ट सोसाइटी फोर सोशल क्लासेस। वैश्यस्तु वार्तावृत्तिस्यान् नित्यं ब्रह्म कुलानुग शुद्धस्य द्विजशुश्रूषा वृत्तिश्च स्वामिनो भवेत्। Translation: The mercantile community should always follow the directions of the Brahmins and engage in such occupational duties as agriculture, trade, and protection of cows. For the Shudras, the only duty is to accept a master from a higher social order and engage in his service. Since this verse has no purport, we'll go to the next. Varta vichitra shalina yavara silonchanam विप्रवृत्तिस् चतुर्धेयम् श्रेयसि चतुरोत्तरा। Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. As an alternative, a Brahman may also take to the Vaishya's occupation of agriculture, crop protection or trade. He may depend on that which he has received without begging. He may beg in the paddy field every day. He may collect paddy left in a field by its proprietor. Or he may collect food grains left here and there in the shops of grain dealers. These are four means of livelihood that may also be adopted by Brahmins. Among these four, each of them in succession is better than the one preceding it. Purport: A Brahman is sometimes offered land and cow in charity, and thus for his livelihood he may act in the same way as a Vaishya, by cultivating land, giving protection to cows, and trading off his surpluses. A better process, however, is to pick up grains from a field or from a dealer's shop without begging. Hare Krishna. Before I begin, I seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas so that I can speak something on this topic. These verses, they give the blueprint of a very Krishna conscious society in which everyone is engaged according to his nature and activities on the basis of Varnashram system. So we'll cover part of that, and also we'll discuss about the renunciation of Brahmins and the Vaishnavas. So in the Vedic system, people who have got the tendency to do business, they are engaged as Vaishyas. So Gita describes that Krishi Goraksha Vanijyam, these are the occupations which they are supposed to do. Sometime back I read in newspaper a survey of the employment scenario in India, and it gave very grim predictions for future, saying that there will be crores of young people who will be unemployed in, let's say, coming 10 or 15 years. And the report said the major cause of this is because agriculture is not producing enough employment. But the next line was very surprising. They said agriculture is not meant to produce any employment. So this is a basic flaw which we see in the modern world. Prabhupada says that just because we got technology in our farmlands using tractor, where young men could be employed and the bulls could be employed, so many young people have become unemployed. Like recently we went to an area which was full of textile industries for book distribution in the marathon. This place supplies almost, they told us that India amounts to around 25% of textile output in the world. And this place is about, supplies around 60 to 70% of that textile. So, but the conditions were really horrible. We went there, and sometimes in between breaks, we would go inside the factories, and there would be loud machines making so much sound, and heavy duty hours, 12 hours duty 7 to 7 or 8 to 8, and the labor conditions were so pathetic that people were not even given earplugs. And we all saw only young people working there, very few old, because after a few years or short time, these people would get fed up and leave. And the labor officer would tell us that this year, since the rainfall was less, it's easy for him to get people to work because there is no work in the fields. Otherwise, everyone would go out and work in the field and get their money and live peacefully. So this land actually, which was used for textile industry, was all agricultural land. But now because of textile industry, it has caused so much of pollution that if you walk, just walk in that belt, all your clothes are covered by a very fine grey dust. Your hair are covered with cotton. And that actually happened with us. There is one industry called as process house, in which they dye and process all the cloths. And it smells, stinks so horribly that literally when we had set up stall for 1-2 hours, after a couple of hours we were like nauseating. Actually we wanted to close the stall and go away, but somehow we had to stay there for 2 days. It was like torture. And Prabhupada correctly states that modern factories are hell, and that we could see. And because of that pollution, all the water which is underground up to, they say around 10 kilometers area, is unfit for drinking. The land is unfit for cultivation. What was once a very fertile land cannot be used anymore. And we see people were so unhappy working in those textile area, and they were getting minimum wages, which they could have easily earned had they been doing agriculture. So that's the idea of Srila Prabhupada when he says that we should have self-sufficient farm community, Krishi, and it should be based on Goraksha also. We cannot have Goraksha or cow protection without we have agriculture. Because we may take care of cows, but what about the bulls? If the bulls are simply kept without engagement, they'll become very restless and they'll create havoc otherwise. And sometime back in BTG, an article was written which told us about the mentality of bulls. If you see bulls, they are like a miniature version of an elephant. Very strong animal. And strong person likes to be engaged in some strong activity. It's not that he's just supposed to stay there. But if you yoke it to a plow, he's very happy to plow the land or do some transportation. But nowadays, since the advent of tractor and other farm machinery, the bulls have been rendered useless. But these, if we go deeply, these farm machines, they're also very costly for maintenance. And with the diesel and petrol price rising up, it's very difficult to maintain this machinery. And the farmer is caught in a loop of take loan to buy this machinery, but then because the cost of maintenance and working is very high, he's not able to repay loan. And we find so many farmers in India, they are committing suicides because of great amount of loan. And when Srila Prabhupada would see the farm communities, he would give specific instructions that not to use machineries, but use bulls. So recently, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, when he was in Gokuldham, so he was telling how the Hare Krishna farm communities, because initially the thought will use the farm machineries to carry on agriculture, and later on we'll use bulls. But since people got used to using machinery, they would not employ bulls, and gradually, slowly, all the farm communities, most of them, they collapsed. In this age, when we are having such a great petrol crisis, fuel prices are rising up, and the world is actually looking for alternative means of living, if we would have actually stuck to Srila Prabhupada's instructions, the Hare Krishna movement, which Prabhupada gave in the 70s, at this time would have had a very powerful, would have been a very great role model for the entire world. And simply by following Prabhupada's instructions, we could have actually shown to the world that Krishna consciousness is a very powerful alternative. I read recently one very famous pop star in America. She is very vocal and very critical of US government policies. So she has her own farm, and she said that now I'm going to get it removed from the national grid, that is electricity. So even like very powerful personalities, they are thinking in terms of a very natural way of living, which Prabhupada was teaching in the 70s, now the world is taking it up. And we should be more cautious and more in line with Prabhupada's order at this stage. And so the best example of Krishi which we can think of, Krishi and Goraksha, that comes to my mind is Krishna himself and Nand Maharaj. It is said they had lakhs of cows. So I would have certain difficulty like imagining how lakhs of cows can fit in. So during our bus party, we went to some temples in Nathdwara and Charbhujanath. And there was one painting. Like here we have this painting of Krishna coming with Balaramji and so many cows are there. It was a similar painting, but so many cows were painted in that. So actually, I could actually think that so many cows must have been there. At least there were 1,000 cows in that painting. At least everyone showing its head and little bit of tail. But at least these people in Charbhujanath, they had actually come from Gokul. And they were telling us that the cows which they have, they were sent by Nand, they are the descendants of Nand Maharaj's cow. They are saying, "Wo unhi ke vanshaj hai." So, so they were like so happy with that. And also we can see cow protection also gives rise to prosperity. A few years back we were in Marathon, we went to Ludhiana, and there is one temple there which has a huge goshala. And they take only abandoned cows. And we just went around the goshala and the cows were so happy with very nice lustrous coat. And they were feeding them nice laddus made of sweets and dry fruits. And we were wondering, and when we came out, you won't imagine, just like we have prasadam queue, they had a huge queue just to give donation. So just simply by protecting cows, they were getting huge amount of people are coming out giving donation to take care of cows. And it's not that the milk itself is something which cow can provide, but the cow dung and cow urine itself, both of them are very good source of medicine, fertilizers, fuel. And also it is said that the body of cow represents is a home of various demigods. But Lakshmi, where does it reside? It doesn't reside in the udder, but it resides in the rectum from where the gobar, cow dung comes out. That is the wealth of cow. And even if cow is not milking, if we take care of her nicely and utilize her cow dung and cow urine, it can be very good use for agriculture and domestic use. Like in Belgaum temple, they make so many medicines. They research through various Ayurvedic scriptures. They make medicines from this cow dung and cow urine, which are very useful. And Prabhupada also says that in Shastras, in one conversation he was telling, in Shastras it is mentioned cow protection. You are supposed to protect cow. They don't say pig protection or hog protection. Because the cow, he said, gives milk, which is useful for the growth of finer tissues of brain. And also, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, he was giving example of how he would do cow protection in service of cows in New Vrindavan. So in Gokuldham he was telling that, and other where also, 2-3 places he said, like he would take care of cows and just clean them nicely, brush them, see that all the hairs are aligned in a certain direction. And then he said when the cow grows, he would take them to a bull and tell the cow that this is a nice Vaishnav bull and arrange that they unite together. He said, "This was my first contact with marriage bureau." And so, and right now we see nowadays that in Nand Maharaj time we also hear the cows were so happy and they would give milk profusely. Like when in Brahm Vimohan Leela, when Krishna, he expanded himself as all the calves. So these cows, they were so happy. And even when the calves were grown up and they had younger calves, even then when these calves, which were Krishna themselves, would be grazing, the cows would come running down and feed them their milk. Recently an article came in BTG in which they mentioned about a conference in European Union about cow protection. And they mentioned two cows which are so much loved by devotees and which have never given rise to a calf, but still since last 15 years they are giving milk. They said it's like a big wonder, but that author Chaya Mataji, she writes that if cows are actually loved nicely and they feel secured, they'll be very happy to give milk. You don't have to breed them. So two cows are there. Since last 15 years, they're giving milk. So then we come to the next point, this vanijyam or trade. So Prabhupada says that if we have excess after doing krishi, that can be used for business or trade. So it's not that money should be used only for sense gratification, but should also be used in service of Brahmins, Vaishnavas, and for spreading Krishna consciousness. We see in our own temple and in our community, we have many great senior congregation devotees who are helping the temple activities. All the congregation devotees, they give certain part of their income to support the temple. So this is the proper use of that. We also see how Prabhupada would mention his father, Gaurmohan Day. He was so compassionate that in his cloth shop, in the night, he would keep a bowl of grains and water so that the rats would feed on that and not eat the cloth. In our travels, we have seen many great industrial houses like Birla's. They have beautiful temples wherever they have factories. And they always worship Lakshmi Narayan or Radha Krishna. And the deities are also very nicely taken care of. Not that you just keep the deities and nobody takes care of. Very effulgent faces. We went to Bhilwara for book distribution, and we went to certain companies which are like very big textile houses, and we requested them that if you possible, can you sponsor part of books? So these people would sponsor like up to 25-30% of the entire price of the set, which cost 350. And they'd never estimated the power of Srila Prabhupada's books. So in one company, we wanted to distribute, and they thought that maximum, okay, they'll have to subsidize 20,000. So it was like company of 2,500 people. And normally we have 10% sale. Say it's like 2,500, 250 will buy. So this person sponsored, he said, okay, around 20,000 may take. But the moment we started, we had 3 stalls in that company. And in one day, in one stall, we had 350 sets. So by the end of the day, out of 2,200 or 2,500 people, 850 people bought entire set. And when the HR manager came and he saw our sponsorship bill of 70,000, he almost had a heart attack. So they said, okay, next. They had 3 more groups, but in those 3 groups, they did not give subsidy. And anyway, since the textile market was under recession, we also didn't force it. We said, you just give us permission. That's all. So that is the power of Srila Prabhupada's book. So many people were attracted toward them. And we also saw various temples which were built by them. In the past also, various temples in Vrindavan and other places, like we see Sanatan Goswami's temple, Madan Mohanji, that was sponsored by a very rich businessman, Kapoor. So like that, Vaishyas have been engaged since a lot of time in helping and supporting the activities of the Vaishnavas. So next we'll discuss the qualities of a Shudra. So Shudra is described that he should serve the twice born, that is the upper 3 groups. But that doesn't mean that he is exploited. Prabhupada mentions elsewhere that whenever there is a special program at home, the householder should feed the Brahmins and then the Shudras. And they are taken care of nicely, they are well fed, provided for all their needs, and they are very happy to serve the society, serve the senior, this thing, people. In the later purports, Prabhupada mentioned that one quality which a Shudra should have is that he should not steal. So yesterday we were hearing when Prabhupada was trying to establish League of Devotees in Jhansi. He was sort of not taking care of his business at that time. And 6 months later he got a news that his own servants had stolen everything from his pharmacy and ran away. We also have example of Sanatan Goswami. When he was escaping from the clutches of Nawab Hussain Shah, he had taken his servant Ishan with him and given him certain gold coins. But even when they were caught by a landlord and Sanatan Goswami said that you give everything to him, still the servant kept some gold coins with him. And when Sanatan Goswami found out, he said, "You kindly leave me." And we see that traditionally, servants in the house, if they are very loyal, they are very nicely taken care of and are considered very important part of the family. I have one friend, when I was young, I used to go to his house and he had a young servant. Then that servant married, so they gave him a separate room. So now when I go, the servant is married, he also has grown-up kids who are going to school. But still he is there and that is considered very important. Like we have certain devotees who serve in families, but they come to our temple. So once in 2 years, we go to their villages in Bihar to do program. So the entire village is, it's like a big, huge village festival. And they were telling us, so they're all group of servants, serve in different families. And they told us that one person has been working for past 19 years in one house. And they're so dependent on him and they're so trusting him that they gave him 10 lakhs rupees. And those people are not favorable to Krishna conscious. They belong to some other community. But just because this servant is so faithful, they gave him 10 lakh rupees. He bought a plot of land in his house and built a Radha Krishna temple. And his family is taking care of that temple. It's a very beautiful place. It's like, we call it Radha Govindji. And Radha Govind temple is there. And when the sun rises, straight sunlight falls on Radha Govind's lotus feet. And surrounding is a small kund where they take the water, do abhishek. And every day when we go, people come, young girls come, they take water, they offer outside the gate to deities, then they throw some tulsi leaves and flowers. Everyone in the village comes. And this money was given by these people who are apparently not favorable to Krishna consciousness. And they even leave the house keys with him. They don't mind. So, now we'll come to the qualities which are mentioned in the next verse, the qualities of Brahman, that he should sustain his living. In emergency, if it's needed, he may accept the occupation of a Vaishya when he's given some land and cow. Otherwise, he should be engaged only in begging for his sustenance. So the idea is that the Brahman should not become dependent on somebody else's income. Then he will become very... he will lose his independence and will not be able to guide that person properly. Like we hear Chanakya Pandit, he was totally serving the Maurya Empire, Chandragupta Maurya, I think that one. But he would not take any money from him so that he would retain his independence. So in my hometown there is one person, and when I was coming to Krishna consciousness, so there was some opposition. So he once came to meet me and he encouraged me to continue, and we discussed some Krishna katha. And he also told me that he was a Gopal in Krishna Leela. So, but actually what we discussed, Krishna stories about Krishna, I could make out that he was a genuine person. But in the entire town, his reputation was very down. Not because of any bad activities, but simply because whole day he would be engaged only in bhajan and kirtan. He would just sing bhajans, dance with his hands raised, and would not care so much for his occupation. And the family was not very well to do, although somehow they were barely making both ends meet. So materialistic people, they would consider, what is he doing, not earning any money, simply singing Radhe Radhe, Hare Krishna, like that. But somebody who is involved in Krishna consciousness is not so much interested in materialistic activities. We also have example of Srivast Thakur. He would never earn any money, simply clap 3 times and whatever he would want, he would get. And Lord Chaitanya also told Shivanand Sen that you take care of Vasudev, that's finance, because he's like totally not so much about keeping money. So this lifestyle actually encourages independence and also humility. We have example of Brahmins who are becoming dependent on somebody else's money and they lost their independence. For example, we have Dronacharya. He was so much dependent on money which was given by the kingdom of Hastinapur, but that when Draupadi was being disrobed, although he knew this was wrong, he could not protest. He agreed to it. And traditionally, Prabhupada says that Brahmanas are supposed to be like astrologers, physicians, and also take care of family disputes. They would go home to home, beg for some alms, and if some problems are there, by some giving some medicines or by taking care of some astrological calculations, they would solve those problems. But nowadays, since Brahmanas are no longer taken care of and they have themselves are not following the principles, Prabhupada says that both medicine and justice has become a very costly affair. Normal man cannot afford it properly. So to discuss something about this begging of alms, I would like to discuss some pastimes from the story of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami was son of Hiranyan Govardhan Majumdar, and they were very rich. Prabhupada mentions they had income of 1,20,000 gold coins at that time annually. And most of that they would use to support Brahmins and Vaishnavas in Navadvip. But Raghunath Das Goswami was very much attached to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and would try to run away and escape to Jagannath Puri. So his parents had kept 11 guards, 2 cooks, 5 other people and guards to keep 24-hour vigil. It was like Z security at that time. But somehow he escaped. So when he came to Puri, his father, he sent, and Shivanand Sen came from Puri back to his place. So then came back to Bengal. Then his father sent a man to Shivanand Sen to ask about Raghunath Das Goswami. So he's saying, Govardhaner putra teno nama Raghunath, Ninachale parichaye ache tomar sath. He said that person is Raghunath Das, the son of Govardhan Majumdar. Did you meet him in Nilachal? Shivanand kahe teno hai prabhu sthane, param vikhyat teno kebe nahi jane. So Shivanand Sen said that he is living with Lord Chaitanya and has become very famous. Ratri dini kare teno nama sankirtana, kshana matra nahi chade prabhura charana. He said he chants Hare Krishna Mahamantra day and night, and never for a moment he leaves the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Parama vairagyatara nahi bhakshe paridhan, yachetache ahar kari rakhaye pran. He is in the supreme order of renounced life. Indeed, he does not care about eating or dressing. Somehow or other, he eats and maintains his life. Dashadanda ratri gele pushpanjali dekhiya, simadware khada hai ahar lagiya. After the night has passed, he has seen the offering of pushpanjali. He stands at Simadwar gate to beg some alms to eat. So, son of a very rich person, one of the richest person, he is begging alms at Simadwar. When his father hears that, Shivanand, his heart is very much moved. And he sends 2 servants, 1 Brahman cook and 400 coins. And next year, Shivanand Sen takes them to Raghunath Das Goswami. So, Raghunath Das Goswami did not accept that money. Raghunath Dase Angi Karana Karila Dravye Lanaduijana Tahani Rahila. Instead, he asked one Brahman and servant to stay, and every month he would invite Lord Chaitanya for a feast. And it happened for 2 years, but then sometime later he stopped. So Lord Chaitanya asked, what is the matter? Why he is not inviting me? So then his servant Sarup Damodar, he tells that Raghunath Das Goswami is thinking that he is inviting his Lord Chaitanya to eat prasadam by the money which is given by Vishayi or people who are attached to sense gratification, which is not very good. So there is a very elaborate purport given by Srila Prabhupada in this regard, and he says that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur suggests that people who are materialistically inclined and sahijyas or so-called Vaishnavas, who take everything very casually, are both Vishayis or materialist. Eating food offered by them causes contamination, and as a result of such contamination, even a serious devotee becomes like a materialistic man. So we saw this in our own travels. Sometimes because of some problem we had to eat at some outside place, and there were certain devotees who would not eat even though we had no meals. They would just cut cabbage, just eat as salad, raw food, or some fruits. And although that food, what we appeared with, although without onion, garlic, but cooked by non-devotees, and we did feel change in our consciousness. So what Prabhupada is saying is very correct. But then what Raghunath Das Goswami started doing, that initially he was begging alms, but now he changed. Kati dine Raghunatha Simadwara Chadila Chatrayai Magya Khaite Aramba Karila. He gave up begging at the door of Simadwar, but instead started going to free food counters and beg and take whatever they give. So Lord Chaitanya was very pleased by this. He said that this is like a mentality of a prostitute. We think, oh, this person is coming, he'll give me something. He gave me yesterday, so he'll give me today also. Oh, he has not given, this will give. So, but Raghunath Das Goswami didn't want that. So he gave it up. So what Lord Chaitanya said? Chatrayai yathalabha udarabharana Anya katha nahi sukhe Krishna sankirtana. If one goes to the booth where free food is distributed and fills his belly with whatever he obtains, there is no chance of further unwanted talk. He said, Anya katha nahi. And one can very peacefully chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And then Lord Chaitanya at this stage, he gives Raghunath Das Goswami a Govardhan Shila and Gunjamala. And which are indicated that Raghunath Das Goswami is given residence at Govardhan and the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. So then it is said, what was the routine of Raghunath Das Goswami? He was so much renounced that his renunciation was like lines on stones. And he would eat very little and chant almost 22 hours in 20, out of 24. And ate and slept for less than an hour and a half, and on some days even that was impossible. And then he even extended his renunciation. It is said that Jagannath Prasadam, which is kept in the stalls, after a few days it becomes rotten and is thrown away. And then there are certain cows called Talinga cows. They come and eat. But even that rotten grains, they smell so bad that even they cannot eat that. And Raghunath Das Goswami, what he would do? Sai bhat Raghunath rate ghare ani bhakta bhat prakhalaye fele ghari diya bahupani. He would collect the decomposed rice and wash it and then eat. And one day Swarup Damodar Goswami saw it and he reported it to Lord Chaitanya. And next day he went there and spoke as follows. Kana vastu khao sabe morana deha kene eta bali eka grasa karila bhakshane. He said, what nice things are you eating? Why don't you give anything to me? Saying this, he forcibly took one morsel and began to eat. And next when he was going to take, Swarup Damodar stopped him. Prabhu Bale Niti Niti Nana Swarup Damodar stopped him, saying that this is not suitable for you. And Lord Chaitanya was saying, this is the greatest nectar which I have tasted. And like this, there were numerous pastimes done by Lord Chaitanya and Raghunath Das Goswami. Ehi Mata Mahaprabhu Nana Lila Kare Raghunathe Vairagya Dekhi Santosha Antare. And internally he was very pleased by the renunciation of Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami mentioned this in Gaurangstav Kalpavriksh, his personal deliverance. Mahasampadavyadapi patitam mudhirya kripya sarupya sviya kunjam api mam nayas mudita uro gunjaharam priyamapi cha govardhan shilam dadau me gauranga hride udyan mam madhyati. Although I am fallen soul and lowest of men, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered me from the blazing forest fire of great material opulence by His mercy. He handed me over in great pleasure to Swarup Damodar, His personal associate. The Lord also gave me the garland of small conch shells that He wore on His chest and a stone from Govardhan Hill, although they were very dear to Him. The same Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awakens within my heart and makes me mad after Him. And then Raghunath Das Goswami says, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions that if one hears about this meeting of Raghunath Das with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he'll attain the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Eite kahilu Raghunathera milana, ehayai sune paye Chaitanya charanam. So although these are very elevated levels of renunciation and we cannot, at least I cannot hope to achieve it ever, but simply by giving submissive oral reception to such topics and feeling inspired from them, we have some hope to follow in the footsteps of our acharyas and attain the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thank you very much. So, any questions or comments? Yes.
Sorry. You know, when we go for these yatras, there are those people, brahmanas, you know, they say, "Hare, hum brahman hai, humko paisa dena chahiye tumko." So, what to do in such situations?
So, the best is if we have some prasadam, we can give them. I mean, we shouldn't be giving money. If they are grastas and they feel that some service, if the brahmanas are doing to the grastas, they can offer some money. Or if they become like too much bothering, we can simply offer pranams and go ahead. If we can afford, we can give. I mean. Any other? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji. I just wanted to make a comment on, you spoke about bulls in, you know, in dhams where the farmers are not, you know, employing them on the fields, and rather letting them out on the streets. So recently I got to know that in Sri Vrindavan Dham, there are these people coming in the middle of the night and they are picking up all these bulls and the cows from the street and they're taking them to slaughterhouses. They usually come at 2 o'clock in the morning. And now they're even breaking in to goshalas who are protecting these cows. They're breaking in, stealing the cows away, these bulls away, and taking them to slaughterhouses. So it's just a, you know, message to the grastas and the vaishyas that, you know, we should do more to protect the cows.
Yeah, we also need some kshatriyas like Parikshit Maharaj. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Sahib Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.